eyes. You're going to trumpet this one away. And
yeah. With a friend of mine who is a master weaver. And the ara is the first line of weave used when weaving. And if the ara is off, everything else is off. I thought it was quite an appropriate image, because as a church, we're wanting to build a kitty, because we are aware that we're pretty good. Well, we're not pretty good. That sounds pretty bad. We're comfortable dealing with the issues of faith and love, but we're trying to push ourselves out into the idea of action. But to do so, we want to be casting a net that is meaningful and purposeful. So over this last period of time, we have been looking at what do we believe as Christians? One of the beautiful things of ta'ara or ta'ora, ara can also mean the way. And so it can mean the way of life or the pathway of life, as well as the weave of life. Just before I introduce today's speaker, I've got just a brief testimony, Jeff, of something that just happened this past week about a previous Sunday in our series.
Great morning, church. We serve a great God, don't we? Can I hear a louder amen? We serve a great God. Amen. Hey, listen, this last week, as part of what we've been doing, moving into action, I just want to call out, I owe somebody in church, I owe somebody coffee, because they took one of the things that we talked about into action in a big way. And there was somebody here who was giving a colleague of mine a lift. Somebody was an Uber driver, a taxi driver, I don't know. Anyway, giving a colleague of mine a lift, and just asked this guy, this passenger, my colleague, so where do you work? And the guy said, I work at Deloitte. And the guy, and so he goes, oh, I've got, there's a guy who goes to my church, he works at Deloitte. His name's Jeff. Do you know Jeff? And he goes, yeah, I know Jeff. What did he do? He then said, Jeff preached a sermon on Sunday. I totally recommend that you download that sermon and give it a listen. Now this, whoever would have thought, right? Isn't that fantastic? That you went and you, whoever you are, you went out, you took the gospel. Jane White's sermon was about sharing the gospel. We just sang about glorifying God. You found a way to glorify God in your workplace in a new way. That is fantastic. That's what we're about. That's what this sermon series is about. It's about taking the love of God and taking it into our community. So thanks to you, I got to have a great conversation with not only one colleague, but a couple of colleagues. They've listened to the sermon, and they're doing it. On the back of the notices, it says, if you have a favorite sermon, download it. Can I suggest to you, take those sermons, share them with colleagues, share them with friends, share them with people you don't know. Get the love of Jesus into the hearts of the people around us. Amen. Kara.
Thanks, Steve. Isn't that neat? So great encouragement there. Now, I'm not going to do a big introduction this morning, but I am going to welcome up someone who is my best friend and who has been a real blessing in my life, because she is someone who is very, very capable. And over the time that I've known her, many, many doors have opened up for her. And over again, she has turned those opportunities down so that we can serve God's church. And so because of that, I've actually got her to come up and speak on a very important topic this morning. Kira, welcome up.
We're going to trade. Morning, church. Hei onore, hei kororia ki te atua. Hei awhina, hei tohu tohu i a mātou. Hai ako hoki ina mahi mo tene rā. Amene. My name is Kara, and it's such a privilege to come and speak to you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, I am married to Gareth, one of the pastors here, and we have an incredible little son, Rawari, who just turned 7 months old and has two teeth. He's going to come up on the screen in a minute, too. Hang on. There he is. He's so cute. As a church, we've been journeying through the series Te Ara o Te Ora, looking into the foundations of our faith that weave together to shape our Christian life. For me, it's been encouraging to come back to some of the basics, particularly as we begin to look more deeply at the part of our mission statement that calls us to be released in action. When Gareth was putting together this series, he started to talk about how he wanted to call on a range of people in the church to speak. I was feeling quite secure in myself as he listed off all these great speakers who had already said yes, and was quite honestly chuffed when by about a week later he still hadn't asked me to preach. A couple of days later, out of the blue, he poked his head into the bathroom as I brushed my teeth and says, "You don't want to preach in this series, do you?" I pointed at our infant, scoffed at him, and said, no. Then I added, quite without thinking about it, "Unless it's on church, I might say yes to that." Turns out church was one of the topics still needing a speaker because Mer said no. So here I am. What drew me to this topic of church, though, is that it is quite tricky. Throughout the past nearly 10 years that Gareth and I have been in pastoral ministry, we've seen some terrible things come out of the church. In fact, it seems like nearly weekly throughout those 10 years that we have had at least one person, whether from inside the church or never stepped inside one, who has been hurt by the church. And I'm sure that many of you can identify with us. Church, when it isn't functioning as Christ intended, can be a horrible, nasty place. And yet, I love church. I honestly do. But what's more, and part of what's gravitated Gareth and myself into pastoral ministry, we love the potential of church. In fact, this is what drew us to explore a church plant down in Mosgiel. Imagine being able to start church with a clean slate, focusing on being Jesus unadulterated to the community around. But then again, imagine being able to do the same with a room bursting at the seams with capable, beautiful, broken people who just need that bit of extra push to be released in action to the people God has put on your path. So, while I come to you a bit hesitant this morning and having written this message in the precious quiet of nap times, I'm actually quite excited to journey church with you this morning. So, what is church? Or what should church be? I really like this definition that I came across in my research, so I stole it. It says that church is all those who, by faith in the person and work of Christ as the fullest revelation of God, have entered into a new relationship with God and with one another, who are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit on earth, and who have been given the task of proclaiming the present and future reign of God in the world. So, from this definition, the church is a group of people who believe in Jesus as God, who are thus sons and daughters of God and brothers and sisters with each other, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and who are called to preach Jesus to the world. This lines up with what we see happening in the early church in Acts 2, verses 41 through 47. The gift of the Holy Spirit has just been given to the disciples at Pentecost, which immediately gave them the ability to preach the good news of Jesus to the people gathered there in their own languages. Pretty cool, eh? Peter then gives an amazing message, and this is what happens next. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They, the followers of Jesus or the new church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There's quite a lot going on here, but the first point that I want to emphasize is that church is people. The church is not a specific building or a specific denomination or even a specific Baptist gathering. We, collectively, as believers in Jesus Christ as the revelation of God, are the church. And quite honestly, that comes with massive implications. When we see ourselves as church beyond just what happens here in this building on a Sunday morning, it should make us pause and take much more seriously this call to be released in action that echoes the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Therefore, go. When we take seriously the truth and call that we are church, we can't leave evangelism to the occasional altar call at the end of a gripping message. We can't leave ministry to not yet believers to the various programs run at church throughout the week. We can't believe that just because thousands more people are coming through the front doors to go to the movies, that they will enter through these doors without genuine encounters with us as church. And we can't sit back and point out all the things we don't like about church. This achieves nothing. If you want to be change, if you want to see change, be change. You are, after all, the church. We then see in Acts 2 what N.T. Wright refers to as the four marks of the church, four aspects that should be integral to a group of believers: teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. These four things are beautifully intertwined and should be paramount in our own outworking of church. Teaching. In today's culture, where worldview is shaped secularly, strong biblical teaching keeps us firm in our Christ foundation and gives us the tools that we need to be agents of renewal, in the world but not of it, city on a hill kind of people. Fellowship. Togetherness in faith is integral. Without fellowship, we lack accountability, love, community. Without fellowship, we risk isolation and encounter difficulty in working to sustain a living faith on our own. The breaking of bread. We celebrate communion and remember Christ's ultimate sacrifice to keep Jesus at the center of who we are and what we do. Without Christ as center, we can no longer really call ourselves the church. And prayer. When we pray, we invite the Holy Spirit in. When we pray, God responds. When we pray, heaven meets earth in a beautiful and spectacular way. And it's when we as church devote ourselves to these things that God works and stuff starts to happen. Miracles amaze. Unity prevails. People are valued over possessions. Meeting and praise are integral to mission. And daily, people are transformed by the living power of Jesus Christ. When church is functioning as it should be a place and a people where miracles are sought after and normalized. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he didn't leave us behind with only a memory of his healing power. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" In John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says himself, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these." Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have the capacity to be miracle workers. We have the capacity to call on the name of Jesus and participate in his healing work in Te Awakairangi and Aotearoa in this world. In church, I reckon that this is an opportunity too exciting to pass us by. When church is functioning as it should, it operates in unity. When the focus is on Jesus and proclaiming his gospel to the world around, it becomes a lot more difficult to nitpick over song style or seating arrangements or women preachers or wall color. While we might still have a preference regarding these things, when we keep Christ at the center, we are willing to put aside our own preference in order to see not yet believers drawn into God's kingdom. When the church is functioning as it should, the generosity we encounter is countercultural, self-giving, and profound. N.T. Wright puts it much better than I could. There is an attractiveness, an energy about a life in which we stop clinging onto everything we can get and start sharing it, giving it away, celebrating God's generosity by being generous ourselves. When we mirror God's generosity, it draws people in. And in meeting people's physical needs, we can share with them the true life light that is Christ Jesus, who showed the ultimate generosity by laying down his life that we might live. When church is functioning as it should, we should operate out of fellowship and praise. Every day, it says, every day they met together, broke bread, and praised God. And they did it gladly, with willing and sincere hearts. Imagine if every single person in this room put being church first in their lives, not sport or work or financial gain or pleasure. Now that would be a way to transform a culture. And finally, when church is functioning as it should, God moves powerfully. Verse 47 of Acts 2 tells us, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Church, isn't this what we want? Isn't this what led this church to this location in the first place? Isn't this why we entertained at all the idea of a cinema renting our space? Isn't this why we have decided to take an even closer look at our mission to be released in action to the people God has put on our paths? Church, if we don't desire to see this auditorium overflowing with people encountering Jesus for the first time, and if we aren't yet seeing that happen, I would argue that we still have work to do to come to a place where we, as church, are functioning as we should. Church, let's desire more. Let's teach Jesus. Let's fellowship together, break bread, pray. Let's expect miracles. Let's live in unity, give generously, and center ourselves on praise. Let's expect God to move, and in his goodness to use these broken vessels to draw people into a life relationship with him. And when God adds to our number those who are meeting Jesus for the very first time, let's embrace them, accept them as Jesus would, and rejoice that another one has come home.